Father, there's been so many words that have been spoken over the years in this church, in this body, certainly long before Stacy and I ever got here. And God willing, there'll be many, many, many more words to come, you know, in the weeks and the months and the years ahead. And to continue as a body to contend for those, to contend for the release of that and the stirring up of that. You know, to quote John Wimber, everybody gets to play. So the idea of I got to play that day and the Lord gave me a word and have not having any idea, and all of a sudden the Lord blesses him with that, and to think, God, I'm just so grateful I got to play. And all of you have, I imagine that many of you have had the opportunity to play, to give that to somebody else, and then also be to be the recipient of what the Lord wants to say. And so to do that with an expectancy. Jesus in the gospel says, watch, you know, watch, watch. What if we were to tweak that just a little bit and say, Lord, what do you want me to be watching for? So on the one hand, am I watching for the thief or am I watching for him? And what if I start watching for him with a sense of joyous anticipation and expectation that he wants to come and to bless? As opposed to come and saying, you weren't doing what you were supposed to do. What if we just took that and switched that just a bit? And that's not taking lightly about our need to be ever vigilant. But if we had that sense that he desires to come and to set his people free, you know. So there's that expectancy with that. So I just, when we were there last night and Jake started sharing that with me, I just was getting these chills. And you know, the three ways that the Lord speaks to us, auditorial, visually, or kinesthetically. We hear, we see, we feel. We kind of start to learn to pay attention to some of that. And so I was getting these chills, and it was just like, that is so cool. And I just had that sense that he really needed to share that today. So I don't know if it was him needing to share that because the very fact of making that testimony makes that word go deeper in his life, in their life, in their family's life. I don't know from the sharing that word that touches any of you, even if it's just one person. And if one person were to say, if the Lord can do that in his life, I wonder if he wants to work in my life too. And I wonder if he wants to maybe resurrect a dream that has been there and maybe been latent, or maybe he wants to bring to life a promise that he's made unto himself on your behalf, and he wants to bring it to fruition. And there's a time in which he wants it to be birthed. And so to have that kind of expectancy of whatever that is. Because, you know, when we go back and look at a prophetic word, to get something that doesn't make any sense, to turn and look at somebody and say, Jake, your socks are about ready to get knocked off, and not have an idea what that means. The Lord knows what it means. And what if we were to filter it through our reason and say, I'm not going to say that because that doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't make any sense that you've been walking and now you're about ready to run. It doesn't make any sense, but that's what I'm hearing, and so I step out in faith as you step out in faith and give that word. And so part of what happens is recognizing that we don't sacrifice God's word on the altar of our human reasoning. We don't sacrifice God's word on the altar of our human reasoning and filter it through some sense like, I don't know if that makes a lot of sense. It's kind of like part of taking the risk is going for it and allowing the body of Christ and the individual to be able to test that word and to discern it. Now, when I say that, I would say probably for 90% of you, I'm talking to the choir. You already know this. But the value, I think, at times of continuing to hear that is either deepening that or as a reminder of all of that, of being able to continue to step out and go for it and to risk. And again, everybody gets to play. And the Lord is constantly speaking. And he truly is. He's constantly speaking, auditorily, visually, kinesthetically. He's always wanting to communicate with us. And remember that the gifts operate not for us, but for others. the fruits operate for us. The fruits are what build our character, our maturity, our sense of what it means to be a beloved son or daughter. That's what the fruits do. The fruits are what builds us up. But the gifts is what build the body up. So to go back and just using that, and I'm not targeting myself. I'm just saying that word that I got, what that did is built him up. Didn't build me up, but I got to enjoy it. The Archbishop shared this when he talked about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's like those gifts are for others, but we get to enter in and enjoy them too, because we get to see how someone else is blessed and go, wow, that was cool. And so as we begin the new year today, right? First day of the new year. Now, granted, we get the joy, if you like, of January 1st starting another opportunity for New Year. That's the secular calendar. But to think today is the first day of the new year. So a little bit that what was talked about today, and I don't know, I just get this sense that I'm to do this, so I'm going to do it. I typically crash and burn when I do this. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, amen. Amen. I rebuke that. Yeah. An elderly woman was arrested for shoplifting a can of peaches. When she went before the judge, he asked her how many peaches were in the can. She replied, 6. In that case, said the judge, I sentence you to 6 days in jail, 1 day for each peach. Just as the judge was about to bring down the gavel, the woman's husband stood up. Excuse me, Your Honor. Is there anything you'd like to ask? Asked the judge. Yes, said the husband. She also stole a can of peas. That's just wrong, isn't it?
You did good.
So I want to try to do 3 things. I want to spend just a little time with the scriptures, and then I want to have us pray for one another. And as I say that, I don't want anybody to get nervous. Okay, it's not going to be anything you have to say out loud, but I'm just going to have us do that. But I wanted to read that first reading again, but I wanted to do it from the Amplified Bible. So that reading from that Lynn read, that 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, I want you to hear this in the Amplified Bible. And if you want to open to your Bible and look at it and see if you see any expansion upon the words that are used in this, what's called the Amplified Bible. So it's 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Paul, summoned by the will and purpose of God to be an apostle, special messenger of Christ Jesus and our brother Sosthenes, to the church, assembly of God, which is in Corinth, to those consecrated and purified and made holy in Christ Jesus, who are selected and called to be saints, God's people, together with all those who in any place call upon and give honor to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace, favor, and spiritual blessing be to you and your heart, peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God at all times for you because of the grace, the favor, and spiritual blessing of God which was bestowed on you in Christ Jesus, so that in him, in every respect, you were enriched in full power and readiness of speech to speak of your faith and complete knowledge and illumination to give you full insight into its meaning. In this way, our witnessing concerning Christ the Messiah was so confirmed and established and made sure in you that you are not consciously falling behind or lacking in any spiritual endowment or Christian grace, the reception of which is due to the power of divine grace operating in your souls by the Holy Spirit. While you wait and watch, constantly living in hope for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and his being made visible to all. And he will establish you to the end, keep you steadfast, give you strength, and guarantee your vindication. He will be your warrant against all accusation or indictment so that you will be guiltless and irreproachable in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. God is faithful, reliable, trustworthy, and therefore ever true to his promise, and he can be depended on. By him you were called into companionship and participation with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you like that? It's just how it kind of takes that and expands it a bit. Now, maybe in the Amplified Bible, some might say, well, they're taking a bit of literary license with some of that. But sometimes when you read other translations, you can take that and it can expand a little bit and you can get one of those aha moments. And remember, those aha moments are like revelation, liberation, covenant, or truth, freedom, love. One of those things that's like, ah, now that helps me understand that a little bit more. Maybe a passage I was familiar with, but it helps me maybe look at it and take it to a place that I hadn't thought of before. Because remember, sometimes we can become so familiar with a text or a reading that it doesn't move us like it once did. And so the value of being able to poke around with other ways of hearing things can be a way that can move us. So I'm going to really change a focus here for a moment, but I just want you to keep that in mind. That's kind of the foundation of all of this. In that first reading from Isaiah 64, verses 1 through, it was to be 1 through 9. In verse 4, it says in Isaiah 64, "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God besides you who acts for the one who waits for him." So for those of you who have a tendency to hopefully spend a fair amount of time in the scriptures, does that particular passage resonate with you at all, with any of you, as to where you may have heard that part of that passage somewhere else repeated in the New Testament? Can any of you, so let me read this again and see if you can recall anywhere where this might have been repeated in the New Testament. "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any gods besides you who acts for the one who waits for him." So if I could ask you to turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, not chapter 1, but chapter 2. So just bear with me as I just read some of this scripture passage. So I think reading the Word of God can always be beneficial, okay? So beginning in verse 6 of chapter 2. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 6. "However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So if I were just to try to kind of lay some of that out as being the first Sunday of Advent, and talking about, you know, that seemed to be that hopeful promise and encouragement that Paul is giving in that first reading that we heard from 1 Corinthians 1. But we also go back to the first reading that you heard from Isaiah 64, and in particular targeting that passage that eye has not seen and ear has not heard, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. And remember that what Paul is alluding to, and if you happen to have one of those Bibles that has a bit of a commentary there, you can say that part of what Paul is trying to instruct them is people have no idea the goodness of God and what he has in store for those whom he's called back to himself. The redemptive, rescuing aspect of what God is about. Remember, maybe one of the most infamous passages, if not the most famous passage in the New Testament, John 3:16. For God so loved the world. You could probably repeat it, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believeth in him would not perish but have eternal life. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Him continuing to go out and draw us unto himself, making sure that we lack in nothing and continuing to bestow upon us his grace, continuing to speak to us. So think about this in threes. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, the heart has not perceived. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor have entered into the heart. The psalm that we have today, and I preached on this about maybe a month ago, Psalm 80, and Billy read it. He read the first seven verses, and it says in verse 3, in verse 7, and verse 19, it has, "Restore us, O God of hosts, cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved." Verse 7, "Restore us, O God of hosts, cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved." Verse 19, "Restore us, O God of hosts, cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved." And remember that that word restore would be much better rendered in the English if it would be, what do you remember? Convert. That would be a much better reading of that. Convert us, O Lord God of hosts, cause your face to shine. The whole idea that conversion goes deeper and deeper. So what if we were to say, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into our heart the things that God has prepared for those who love him. It goes in threes. The Lord wants to continue to allow us to see. He wants us to continue to hear. And he wants us to continue to know in our heart, more and more reveal that. Bernard Lonergan, I know last year I had shared this with you, but Bernard Lonergan, who talks about the three conversions that we go through, the first conversion being spiritual. You invite Jesus into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior. Second conversion is moral, meaning that your life begins to become more and more transformed as any passions that are disordered begin to become more and more in line with who Christ is. And the third conversion, intellectual, your whole thinking process gets converted. And so to think about, I think sometimes when people think, if I've accepted Jesus Christ in my heart as my personal Lord and Savior, I'm done. I think most Christians who've been walking that walk for a while to say, I think the Lord may still be doing some more work in me. You ever struggle with any of your passions? You know, those accountability questions that I read periodically? you know, that would trot that out and look at that and say, you know, is there still some work that the Lord may be doing in our life, taking us deeper? And the whole idea of being renewed in our mind, having the mind of Christ, and to think, Lord, are you continuing to renew my mind and bring a conversion in the way that I think? Oh, convert us, O Lord, and we shall be saved, and let your light shine upon us. And can it go deeper? Or do I become comfortable where I'm at? Does the Lord want to take us deeper? Does he want to keep taking us deeper? Think about it in threes and remember the whole notion of how the Lord speaks to us. Visually, auditorily, kinesthetically. How is he speaking? Remember there for several weeks in a row when I talked about what's the garment that you're wearing today? What's the garment that you were wearing this week? You know, is it a garment that has seemed to be, I've had a pretty good week, it seemed pretty well unstained? Or has it been a garment that has seemed to have been heavy? Or a garment that has seemed to have been maybe a bit stained? Or maybe of a garment that I even took and laid aside and forgot to take it with me. And that whole idea of, Lord, bring me back as I begin a new year, that you want to reveal to me more and more of what it is that you want to show me, what it is that you want me to hear, and what it is that you want me to know in my heart. Does this make sense to you? Okay. So here's what I'd like to do. That was the first thing. The second thing is, I know we're spread out a little bit. I know it might stretch your comfort level a bit, but if I could ask you, if you can get close enough that you can take somebody's hand to the extent that you have both hands being held, that there's nobody out that just has, like you're on the end and you're not holding anybody's hand, so you need to get around. So it's basically, you can call it a big circle, you can call it whatever, and it's across the aisles, however. But if you can do it so that you're holding somebody's hand and you've got both hands being held. Can you come this way a little bit? Can you
break that circle?
Break that circle.
Can I ask you to break up your circle and join here? Go Okay, here's what I want you to do. If you want to close your eyes, you can close your eyes, but this is what I want you to do. I want you to pray to the Lord, not on behalf of somebody else, specifically on behalf of yourself. I want you to pray, asking the Lord what it is that you want him to do. However you pray that prayer, and pray it quietly in your heart, whatever it is that you want the Lord to do or you're seeking or asking, and it's for you, and I'm being very specific. I don't want you praying for somebody else, and that can be very noble, and you can think that's being very pious and that's being very holy, okay? That's not what this is about. This is about you praying for you. It's not selfish. So I just... And I'll kind of try to be conscious of about, 30 seconds to a minute, okay? I want you to pray for you. Amen.
Put them in the box. Because I can't do all the things that you would have me do because I'm holding on to too many keys. Mm-hmm. My hands are full of keys everywhere and I need to put them away, which means I need to trust you more and more and more. Lord, just enable me to give me the strength, give me the courage to put those keys in the box and start this.
So Jennifer, thank you for praying that prayer. But remember what I want you to do is I just want you to continuing. And so I don't want anybody else to pray out loud. just want you to pray quietly, asking the Lord. But thank you, Jennifer, for that prayer. And remember, praying for yourself. Okay, now here's what I want you to do. I'm going to give you about a minute or so, and whoever's holding your right hand, who's ever holding your left hand, I want you to pray, interceding specifically for them, whatever it was that they were praying for, that you are specifically praying for the person holding your right hand and holding your left hand, that you are praying, taking a moment and focusing on whatever it was that they were praying for, even though you don't know what it was. You may think that you know what it was, but you probably don't, that you're praying for them. Amen. So what I'd like you to do is I'm going to take us through a forgiveness prayer. So I just want you to sit, get still, get comfortable. It will take about maybe 5 minutes. And I just want you to listen. And as I go through this forgiveness prayer, if there's anything in that forgiveness prayer that seems to speak to you, stay there. Just stay there with it. If there is... So just with that, if you're just able to follow along, just follow along, because some of it may speak to you, and granted, some of it may not. But I just want this to just to be a blessing and a healing. So it's a different kind of a way of praying through this. In the following prayer, most of the significant areas will be covered. Often such a prayer will bring to mind other areas that need forgiveness. Let the Holy Spirit move freely and guide your mind to persons or groups that you need to forgive. Lord Jesus, I ask today to forgive everyone in my life. I know that you will give me strength to forgive, and I thank you that you love me more than I love myself and want my happiness more than I desire it for myself. Lord Jesus, I want to be free from the feelings of resentment, bitterness, and unforgiveness toward you for the times I thought you sent death, hardships, financial difficulties, punishments, and sickness into our family. Lord, I forgive myself for my sins, faults, and failings. For all that is truly bad in myself or all that I think is bad, I do forgive myself. For any delvings in the occult, Ouija boards, horoscopes, seances, fortune-telling, lucky charms. For taking your name in vain, for not worshiping you, for hurting my parents, for getting drunk, for taking drugs, for sins against purity, for pornography, for adultery, for abortion, for stealing, for lying, I am truly forgiving myself today. Thank you, Lord, for your grace at this moment. I truly forgive my mother. I forgive her for all the time she hurt me, resented me, was angry with me, and for all the time she punished me. I forgive her for the time she preferred my brothers and sisters to me. I forgive her for the time she told me I was dumb, ugly, stupid, the worst of the children, or that I cost the family a lot of money. For the time she told me I was unwanted, an accident, a mistake, or not what she expected. I forgive her. I forgive my father. I forgive him for any non-support, any lack of love, affection, or attention. I forgive him for any lack of time, for not giving me his companionship, for his drinking or arguing and fighting with my mother or the other children, for his severe punishments, for desertion, for being away from home, for divorcing my mother, or for any running around. I do forgive him. Lord, I extend forgiveness to my sisters and brothers. I forgive those who rejected me, lied about me, hated me, resented me, competed for my parents' love, those who hurt me, who physically harmed me, for those who were too severe on me, punished me, or made my life unpleasant in any way. I do forgive them. Lord, I forgive my spouse for lack of love, affection, consideration, support, attention, communication, for faults, failings, weaknesses, and those other acts or words that hurt or disturb me. My God, I forgive my in-laws, my mother or father-in-law, my son or daughter-in-law, my sister or brother-in-law, and other relatives by marriage for their lack of love, words of criticism, thoughts, actions, or omissions which injure and cause pain. I do forgive them. Please help me to forgive my relatives, my grandmother and grandfather, who may have interfered in our family, been possessive of my parents, who may have caused confusion or turned one parent against the other. Jesus, help me to forgive my co-workers who are disagreeable or make life miserable for me, for those who push their work off on me, gossip about me, won't cooperate with me, try to take my job. I do forgive them. My neighbors need to be forgiven, Lord, for all their noise, letting their property run down, not tying up their dogs who run through my yard, not taking in their trash cans, being prejudiced and running down the neighborhood. I do forgive them. I now forgive my clergymen, my congregation, my church, my priests, for all their lack of support, pettiness, bad sermons, lack of friendliness, not affirming me as they should, not providing me with inspiration, for not using me in a key position, for not inviting me to serve in a major capacity, and for any other hurt they have inflicted. I do forgive them today. Lord, I forgive all professional people who have hurt me in any way. Doctors, nurses, lawyers, policemen, hospital workers. For anything that they did to me, I truly forgive them today. Lord, I forgive my employer for not paying me enough money, for not appreciating my work, for being unkind and unreasonable with me, for being angry or unfriendly, for not promoting me, and for not complimenting me on my work. Lord, I forgive my school teachers and instructors of the past as well as the present for those who punished me, humiliated me, insulted me, treated me unjustly, made fun of me, called me dumb or stupid, made me stay after school. Lord, I forgive my friends who have let me down, lost contact with me, do not support me, were not available when I needed help, borrowed money and did not return it, gossiped about me. Lord Jesus, I especially pray for the grace of forgiveness for that one person in life who has hurt me the most. I ask to forgive anyone who I consider my greatest enemy, the one who is the hardest to forgive, or the one who I said I would never forgive. Thank you, Jesus, that I am free of the evil of unforgiveness. Let your Holy Spirit fill me with light, and let every dark area of my mind be enlightened. Amen. Peace of the Lord be with you. Let's offer one another a sign of Christ's peace.